Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, what is up, my brother?
Not much. Just living the good life. The Cubbies are still on my mind. But, you know, baseball is done. We got to start getting into a little NBA here. You know, I haven't really watched much lately. But, I mean, a lot of cool things going on right now. Joel Embiid, the wait is finally over. And, man, is that guy a player? I mean, I think he's basically a shoe-in at this point for Rookie of the Year. I mean, his level of play compared to all the other rookies, I think this guy's going to be something special. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, the way he's taking the league by storm is his first year of playing. I know he's been sitting on the bench for a long time, but, you know, it looks like when this guy is healthy, he's a huge playmaker.
Yeah, he's a stud, but he is on a minute count, you know, and you know, I know one thing. You know, I've been watching the NBA for a long time, and you know, bad feet and those things are tend to be. I hope not, because he is a rocket stud, but they tend to be problematic over time. But he's been unbelievable, and you know, but he is on a minute count and he gets rest. But hopefully I hope it all works out. But you know, they've still got Nerlens Noel, who can't seem to stay healthy either. Similar problems. You get drafted by Philadelphia, you end up with feet problem.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, you know, if he doesn't stay healthy, it's going to be a very frustrating career. I mean, it already has been, but, you know, thank God he got back on the floor finally. But, I mean, talking about a bad lower body for a big man, Greg Oden came out and said, officially called himself the biggest bust of all time. I think I tend to agree with him. I remember him coming out of high school was, you know, projected number one pick and was taken one pick ahead of Kevin Durant, who we can make an argument is the best player in the league right now. Definitely one of. But, I mean, what do you think, Bub? Is he the biggest bust of all time?
Easily the biggest bust of all time. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, he was a big bust. The biggest of all time, you know, Sam Bowie could have been one of those as well. You know, he was the one who went in front of Michael Jordan. So, you know, he was a pretty big bust too. He also had feet problem. So, but Oden was pretty bad. I mean, and he was a stud, but he was like soft from the beginning. And then and then when he wasn't soft, he was hurt. So it could be, you know, I don't have a problem calling him the biggest bust of all time, because obviously we've seen what he's done. Right. So certainly not very good. And, you know, and I think you're seeing a lot of things play out pretty much to form here. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, we got some interesting stuff right now. I mean, all the teams, I think the Warriors are really starting to get the hang of things. Cavaliers look pretty good. Bulls are basically right where we expected, you know, 5-4, nothing too exciting. Charlotte Hornets, 6-1 right now, playing some real good basketball. One team that is really off to a slow start is the Boston Celtics. I had them pegged this year. I thought they were going to be, you know, second or third best team in the East, and, you know, we're still early. We're, you know, 10% done with the season. There's plenty of basketball to play, but, I mean, they're really struggling for a Brad Stevens team. You know, they're last in, you know, rebounding percentage and defensive efficiency in the entire league, and I think they're really missing Evan Turner. I mean, you know, Jaylen Brown, drafted with the number 3 pick, he's playing some good basketball, but this team really isn't clicking, and you know, I'm not worried about them yet. Like I said, it's early, but I mean, they're one of my early season surprises as a team I thought was going to kind of come roaring out of the gates like they did at the end of last year.
Well, I think that I was disappointed in them when they signed Horford. I thought that was a bad signing. I mean, he's old. You know, look, you can only last for so long, and you know, he's injured. And of course, unfortunately, Crowder got injured as well. You know, so he's struggling, and you know, of course, you're trying to meld a bunch of new parts together plus what you had, and you know, that style does take a while to get in, and I'm sure it'll work out for them. Obviously, they'll make the playoffs. I don't know if they're, you know, how high they're, what kind of seed they're going to get, but they are in a pretty weak division, so you know, they could be, you know, obviously somewhere in the mid pack maybe, but you know, I like Stevens. I think he's solid, and again, his style is a little bit different and does take a little bit of time to get involved in it. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. I think, you know, they'll end up being pretty good. I mean, basically half the league makes the playoffs, so there's plenty of time to figure things out, and I've got a lot of confidence. I love Brad Stevens. I think the Celtics team is being built, you know, like a team that'll have, you know, one of those 10-year runs where you look back and you see, you know, a team that kind of dominated the league and was one of the best teams. I think the Celtics team is setting up to do that. I mean, I know LeBron James, as long as he's in the league, the team he's playing for is going to be very relevant. And this Warriors team, you know, they're going to be relevant for a long time. But, you know, I'm not worried about the Celtics. A couple other teams, the Clips, look really good again. But, you know, come playoff time, I want to see some playoff success. So, I mean, they're a team that, you know, I expect them to win probably 55-60 games in the regular season. You know, looking at a couple guys in the MVP race, Bub, James Harden came out and said he's the best player in the world. Is he right?
I'm going to tell you this. Yes, he is the best player in the world. I'm gonna say yes, because you know what? In our league, he's the number one player right now. And you've seen the numbers that that Westbrook has been putting up. But Harden is the number one player according to our statistics. He never gets hurt. He never is out. Even when he's injured, he's playing. And he'll play. You know, last year, I think he played 81 games. Okay, so you know, to me, yes, he is the best player. Is he the best? Is he the most skilled player? No. I mean, you know, obviously Westbrook is unbelievable, but he's hurt a lot. I mean, he's been hurt every year and missed usually around 20 games a year. So yeah, I'm gonna say he is the best player.
Yeah, you know, I think I still have to side with LeBron overall, but I mean, just like a fan, you know, watching football, it's kind of tough to, you know, recognize an offensive line, you know, an alignment. Is he doing a good job? And the thing with Harden is always the defense. You know, if you play good defense, it really
does. Does he play defense?
I mean, it's up for debate.
He doesn't play defense. He rockets and scores.
Right. So, I mean, from a scoring, I mean, he's probably the most electric player in the league. And it's really fun watching him play under Mike D'Antoni. I mean, he's averaging 32 points a game, 13 assists and 7 rebounds. I mean, the guy might end up leading the league in points and assists. And it's just, it's amazing watching him get unleashed in this, all this, you know, 7 seconds or less offense. I mean, he's an explosive guy. He's a great shooter, and, you know, he loves having the ball in his hands. I mean, the one thing about him and Westbrook is, you know, they're never shying away from the ball, and, you know, he happens to be a very good shooter as well, so he doesn't just chuck up bricks all the time. But, I mean, I think I got to put him as the early lead for the MVP.
You give him the ball, it's like going to a black hole. It never comes back. It never comes out again. you know, listen, it is what it is. I mean, he's great, and, you know, he's got a great pedigree. And, you know, I'd like to see him on a team that would actually really compete, though. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a great player, but I would like to see him on a solid team around him where he's just not the showcase. You know, Michael Jordan always had great pieces around that fit who Michael Jordan was, right? And that's the thing. LeBron, they got pieces that fit who LeBron was, then they finally won a championship. And that, I think, is the one thing that would really show me how good he really is. Because if we took Seth Curry, who's great, but if we put him on a team that didn't have so many good talented guys around him, he might not be as good as he is. And I'm not taking it away from him. He's great. But I'm just saying that there's, you know, the components around you are important too. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to stop by here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every weekend, as well as the Bubba Show during the week. We'll see you back here right after the break. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll be right back.
You don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no, but
I'm smarter than
welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, so I think Harden needs, I want to see him on a real team. in other words, where he's just not the only one guy, which, I mean, they got Oladipo. No, Oladipo's on the other team. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'd like to see him on a little bit better team in my eyes, but I think he's unbelievable. So that I will say from a fantasy standpoint, he's the best in the league. That's in my eyes.
Right. And I think, you know, it's cool to think back. I mean, the guy, he led the Rockets to the Western Conference championship a couple years ago with definitely not the best team around him. I mean, you know, Dwight Howard, we've voiced our opinions about him on the show before, but yeah, Harden, I mean, I'd say more or less kind of did that by himself. And, you know, I agree with you. I'd love to see him on a team that can really compete because, I mean, right now looking at the league, there's only, I think, four or five teams that I put in that, you know, top tier that have a chance to win. Last guy I wanted to mention, always flies under the radar, but, I mean, I think he is the best, you know, if you're going to get a guy who's the best defender and a guy who can score points and be an MVP of a team, Kawhi Leonard has been doing this for, I think, you know, 2 or 3 years now. Just gets so unnoticed because his game isn't that flashy. But, I mean, he's taken over this Spurs team, and I think he is also a top five player in this league.
I 100% agree. He may be the best player that nobody's ever heard of, right? I mean, we've heard of him, but you know what I mean. He's just not flashy. Right. Every night he just goes out and dishes it out. Let me ask you something, a little bit off topic, but, you know, the big scuttlebutt, you know, with Trump winning the election, okay, now there's a bunch of NBA players and sports figures, not just NBA, saying, well, we may not go to the White House if we win the championship because we don't like Donald Trump. And then, of course, on Twitter today, there was an assassination thing about Trump. But, I mean, now, are these athletes, are they out of their minds or what?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they got an opinion and you know, they share it. I mean, I don't know. I don't think they're out of their minds. It's just, you know, I see why. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't like Trump at all, and a lot of athletes have come out and spoke out about it. So I don't know. I mean, it's just an opinion. I don't think it's really a big deal.
I don't know. I think it ties right back into to the not standing for the national anthem, the whole thing. I think it's ridiculous. You know, even if you don't like him, it's the president of the United States. As I always did with Obama, I hated him, but I gave him respect that he was the president. But anyway, this is not a political show, so let's get on. But somehow Tony Romo, he was all healthy and now he's injured again. What happened there?
I don't know. I stopped reading stuff about Tony Romo because I don't want to hear any controversy about the Cowboys. I love watching Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, you know, run this team right now. I mean, the offensive line, best in the league. I mean, I remember when DeMarco Murray went off, what did he have? 18. Did he have 2,000 yards a couple years ago?
I don't know if he got he might have been just short. It was close.
Well, whatever. I mean, running over people, and he left, and, you know, people were wondering, you know, would the next back for the Cowboys, you know, have this kind of success, and they've shown that. I mean, they're the best group in the league. And Ezekiel Elliott, you know, is making a name for himself. I mean, the Cowboys kind of lucked out here, drafting two rookies and having them both start being a 7-1 football team. I mean, they're playing some great football. And, I mean, they got a pretty decent-sized lead in the NFC East. I mean, you got the Eagles and the Giants. Giants are 5-3. Eagles are 4-4. And then they're sitting there at 7-1. So, I mean, they're playing some real good football, and it's fun to watch. And the Tony Romo thing is a distraction to me. So we'll see where that goes. But, I mean, as long as they keep winning games, it's kind of a non-story. I mean, Dak Prescott will be under center.
How about Bartolo Colon signing a deal with the Atlanta Braves? The guy's 100 and weighs about 500 pounds, and he's still pitching.
The Braves, R.A. Dickey and Bartolo Colon, they're taking all the old guys. All the big old guys, and I mean, this is great for Bartolo Colon. I mean, getting $12.5 million to, you know, do something he loves. I kind of would have expected him to go to a team that had a better chance of winning the World Series. I mean, the Braves, we all saw the Braves last year. It was a glorified AAA ball club. They just were not good the entire year. Julio Teherán's, you know, and Freddie Freeman are two of the lone bright spots on that team. So it was a little surprising to me, but you know, I didn't know if the Mets were going to re-sign him. Definitely not to a multi-year deal. I mean, the kind of success that he had at 43 years old was pretty mind-boggling. I mean, the guy had always been a pretty good pitcher, but last year, you know, he goes 15-8 with the 3.3 ERA. I mean, pretty insane numbers. And I mean, this could end up working well for the Braves if Bartolo, you know, again, goes out there next year and does his thing and pitches pretty well, it could be a perfect, you know, sign and flip scenario. I mean, there's going to be a lot of teams that need arms near the deadline that are in the playoff race. And, you know, Bartolo Colon could be that missing piece for some of those teams. So I'm excited to watch him pitch next year. I mean, I think the Braves are still going to be terrible. You know, it's always fun to get him out there, and he's in the NL still, so we still get to see him hit.
Oh, no, you know what? Look, the Braves, A, Dansby Swanson was good. They've got a couple other young prospects. What they want to do is they're trying to use the Cubs model, but they're trying to go a little bit faster just because they've got a new park opening and they don't want it to be empty. You know, they have a new park opening this year, so they're trying to get some veterans and at least you have some. I got news for you. Fulton Witz wins 15 games next year or more. Okay, that's my prediction right now. He was unbelievable this year. He had injured, but he still won, I think, 8 or 9 games with that rag team. And you know they're gonna be a much better team next year, and I think that's pretty cool. And I'm happy to see Bartolo. I mean, you know, the guy went through it. He was a steroid guy, then he wasn't, and now he's 400 pounds, but he's 45 years old or whatever, and still pitching.
Yeah, so that's 44. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable that, you know, he just kind of the guy who like doesn't age. I mean, to think about 44, I mean, he's gonna get up there with Satchel Paige, and he's getting his 60s pretty soon.
Yeah.
But we got to get into a little football, and I think one of the crazier games, endings to a game I've ever seen, the Lions and the Vikings. What has happened to the Minnesota Vikings? I mean, they were sitting there at 5-0, calling them possibly the best team in the NFL, and here we are 3 weeks later. They dropped 3 in a row. They blow a 3-point lead with 30 seconds left, you know, to Lions to get him to overtime, and then lose in overtime on a player they missed 2 tackles. I mean, this was an atrocious loss for the Vikings. I got to give a lot of credit to Matt Stafford to get the ball, complete 2 passes, you know, with, you know, 15 seconds left, and they kick a 55-yard field goal. I mean, that was pretty amazing. But, I mean, this one hurts for the Vikings, and they got a lot of soul-searching to do the next couple weeks.
Well, they were overperforming as it started. The defense was phenomenal, but you know what? You got to get a little help from your offense, and I really do not understand their offense. You know, Bradford's okay. He's a serviceable quarterback. I wouldn't call him great. I wouldn't call him terrible. I'd say he's very serviceable, but I don't know. I understand they don't use half their weapons. I mean, even, you know, Laquon Treadwell finally caught his first pass of the year. Now, you drafted him in the first round. You must have saw something. Why aren't you throwing him out there? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I just see that the running back is starting to come back to haunt him. And, you know, when you're a defensive-minded team and you don't figure to put up a lot of points, okay, you need to control that ball a little bit longer. And, of course, it's very challenging when you have an offensive line that's like a sieve and you've got a paper lion as a quarterback, right?
Right. I mean, their running game is brutal. I mean, they signed Ronnie Hillman a couple weeks ago, and he led the team in rushing with, you know, 7 attempts for 30 yards. I mean, that's not a recipe for success when your quarterback, Sam Bradford. I mean, you need a guy. Sure, they would love to have Adrian Peterson right now. But, I mean, it'd be tough for anybody behind this offensive line. They just aren't very good. And you got a guy like Sam Bradford who, like you said, is basically a game manager. So he's not really going to go out there and win you a lot of games. They need to play, you know, better with their defense. And the past few weeks, defense hasn't been bad, but, you know, it's been about average, and they've lost some games that I didn't think they would, quite frankly, didn't think they would lose. But I mean, that's the NFL. You know, things change week to week, injuries happen, you know, teams start to come true to form, and that's a great thing about it. Big Ben, it looked awfully hurt last week in that loss to the Ravens. I mean, one of the worst performances I've ever seen him have.
Well, you know, this is, unfortunately, you know, he's a trooper. He's a fighter, and he always comes back too early. And that's why his after an injury, when he returns to play, his record, I think, is like 2-6. Okay. So, you know, he's not ready to play, but he's a team guy that thinks that he's got to be there. And so he rushes through everything. And listen, you know, he ain't no spring chicken anymore either. You know, this guy is an animal. But, you know, it's a shame. But I think they're going to be fine, and I think he'll be fine. But, again, I think he rushed himself back. And they've, you know, Landry's a pretty serviceable backup. They could have played with him. But, you know, again, that's how it rolls, and that's Tomlin. And Tomlin's a great coach. But this is a great show, and it is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. Excuse me, every weekend, and the Bubba Show every day. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander Bubba. We will be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, the NFL, the wild and wacky NFL. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the Minnesota Vikings. And, of course, how bad are the 49ers? I mean, and how bad is Colin Kaepernick? It's terrible.
I mean, you know, I can give a little credit. The guy threw for almost 400 yards last week, showed some flashes, but this is one of the worst defenses I've ever seen. I mean, every week they're giving up like 180 yards a game on the ground, which is just kind of unfathomable. You think about every week, you know, teams rush for almost 200 yards against them. And this was, you know, it's kind of a test for Drew Brees. I mean, the tale of tape with Drew Brees is the guy doesn't really get it done on the road. But, I mean, he had a wonderful game, 320 yards, three touchdowns. Mark Ingram, everybody thought he died last week. And Tim Hightower was going to be a starting back, and he comes back. 15 attempts, 150 yards, popped off for a 75-yard touchdown run. So, I mean, it was a great game for the Saints. But going back to Sunday night, the Raiders.
The Raiders, baby.
We called them.
We called them easy. And, they're, you know what? I'll tell you what. David Carr, a special talent, it looks like. I mean, he's the real deal. You know, I always thought so. I liked them. But they're really playing well. And, you know, good for them. I mean, you know, they look like they're a real that AFC West is a real horse race now.
Right. I mean, they looked fantastic, and I think you're seeing this Denver Broncos team. Trevor Siemian just isn't really getting it done, and you know, kind of like the Vikings. If you have a quarterback who more or less manages the game, doesn't really win it, you can't give up 30 points, especially when you're this great of a defense. I know they're missing Aqib Talib. Couple key injuries there, but I mean, you can't give up 30 points if you want to, you know, win a game with Trevor Siemian at the helm. I mean, I remember he had that one great game, I think it was in week four, where he threw for four touchdowns, but he's really not going to do that. And Derek Carr, he didn't even have that great of a game, didn't even throw for 200 yards, but I mean, did what he needed to. Latavius Murray, 3 1-yard touchdown runs. I mean, if you're a fantasy guy, you love that. I mean, it was good to see him spring back to life. I know he's been injured this year, really hasn't gone as planned, but I mean, this Raiders team, you know, they're really getting behind the defense. And that's something that I don't think I've ever said as a football fan, as long as I've been watching the Raiders having a good defense. But they're sitting here at 7-2. And I mean, I think they're poised for a big run. I mean, they're firing on all cylinders. Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper on the outside. I mean, they're doing some great things. And they're finally fun to watch. And Derek Carr is, you know, developing into a great NFL quarterback that looks like, you know, he's going to be there for a long time.
And, I mean, you look and they're pounding away, and that's pretty cool. Maybe we'll have a Raiders Cowboys Super Bowl.
that would be awesome. But you know, the team is not going to the Super Bowl is the Green Bay Packers.
Oh no.
And just embarrassing that they're letting the season come to this. I mean, they get beat by the Colts who I've always been very low on the Colts. They're one of the most unimpressive teams in the league to me. I know they're 4-5, but I mean, this is a game that Aaron Rodgers needed to win and did not play very well, I thought. And this defense, it was an embarrassing game, I think, for the Packers. You know, a team that we thought, you know, was an outside shot to get to the Super Bowl this year.
I completely agree. I mean, you know, luck has been, because I think he's playing hurt. And I said many times in the show, I don't think Pagano's that good of a coach. I think we saw, when Arians was there and he was out, they were really, really good. And ever since he left, they're not very good. And what's the status with your Arizona Cardinal?
It's tough. I think they're still alive. This is, you know, a week they're playing the 49ers. Two touchdown favorites. I don't know, in the NFL, you told me a team was under 500 and they'd be a two touchdown favorite. That's pretty hard to believe, except if you're playing the 49ers. So this week isn't going to really tell me much about where the Cardinals are. You know, I would expect them to win this game handedly. And if they lose, I got to throw them out. I mean, 3-5-1 is not going to get it done. But I expect them to play well. I mean, Carson Palmer, I think that's going to be a big game for David Johnson, get back on track after the bye week. And Larry Fitzgerald's kind of turning back the clock a little bit. I mean, a lot of people thought John Brown was going to be, you know, a new weapon of this offense this year, but it's really been Fitzgerald. And again, Michael Floyd, just a disappointment.
Never fails to disappoint. I mean, it's really a shame. But I will say the Arizona Cardinals are very, very disappointing. But I don't know if there's anybody more disappointing. And we bashed him before on the show, and he deserves bashing. But the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, what is this guy waiting for? I mean, Case Keenum sucks. And he's got a rookie on the bench that can do... Goff can suck just as much as Case Keenum sucks. Tell me.
Yeah.
Explain to me.
I mean... We had this conversation, I feel like, every week with Jeff Fisher. Just kind of refuses to kind of open his eyes and see that, you know, what's the point of having Case Keenum? I mean, you took a guy with the number one overall pick. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, and I heard that they're not going to put him in until they're out of playoff contention. I know this team won three games in a row after that brutal week one loss to the 49ers, but I mean, they've looked like the same team they've been for the past 3 years, and I really don't see anything that they're trying to change. I mean, Todd Gurley, he's averaging less than 3 yards a rush. Case Keenum's got more, you know, interceptions than touchdowns. It's ugly over there, but it's going to stay ugly if Jeff Fisher just refuses to change. I mean, I don't see what the big thing is with this guy. I know he had a good run with the Titans in the early 2000s, but, you know, he's close if he isn't already having the most losses in NFL history, which, you know, I'm not going to judge his career on that. But I mean, these past couple of years have been frustrating just from a football fan perspective, to watch the Rams just continue to go out and do the same things every week.
No, listen, I mean, last year with Brian Quick, but we won't beat him to death anymore. We've beaten him enough, but
yes, we have.
Big game this week. The Sunday night matchup, the Seahawks and the Patriots. Seahawks are playing a little bit better, but they don't look as good. They don't look as sharp as usual, but they're playing better. And of course, New England, they're a machine. They just rebuild and retool and go. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, this is a tough one. The Seahawks, you know, they're playing pretty good football, but I think we're seeing this year, they really miss Marshawn Lynch. I mean, that was the guy you knew every Sunday was going to come out and just hammer it home. Russell Wilson got to develop into a very good starting quarterback, and in part because of Marshawn Lynch, was always there to handle the load, was playing every week. And now we've seen this year, they've been Christine Michael had a couple good games. He hasn't been very good. I mean, they rotate a couple guys around, and it's just not the same. Puts a lot more pressure on Russell Wilson, who is also kind of playing hurt. I mean, he hasn't been healthy, I think, the entire year. And, you know, we saw the knee brace. He had to come out for a play this week. But, I mean, he's a guy who's a pretty mobile guy, so it's kind of restricted in terms of the ankle and the knee. So this is a tough one for me. I would have to go with the Patriots if I were forced, but I think I would stay away. I hate the 7.5. It really bothers me. I could see him winning by 30, but I don't know. I think this is the kind of game Seahawks defense gets up for, and I think it'll be a little tough for Tom Brady to – to pick him apart this game.
Well, I think you're going to pick him apart, but I think it's going to be a good game, and I wouldn't. I don't want to take it, but I certainly wouldn't lay it. I want to lay it with the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, they played on Thursday. Son of a gun. I mean, that Cleveland is just, it's amazing. They can play a good 30 minutes, but they just can't complete the deal. It's interesting to watch, but big game, and I think this is a big underlay here. Or in the New Orleans Denver game, New Orleans is not a big enough favorite as far as I'm concerned, and which means that to me they think it's a trap and they think that Denver's a much better team. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, this is probably one of the crazier spreads I've seen this year. I mean, if you were to tell me that the Saints are going to be favored over the Broncos. I don't care home or away this year. I would have called you crazy, but the Saints have been playing some very good football lately, and you know the Broncos come in struggling. I agree with you. I think I would take the Saints here. I think they're just on a roll. I think the Broncos overall might have a better team, but I mean the way things are going right now, you know, Drew Brees in the Metrodome is in one of the most explosive quarterbacks, you know, any field ever. I mean, the guy throws for a million yards, and at home, he's better. And this defense, you know, has been holding up this year. I mean, the past few years, they've been playing like the 49ers, giving up, you know, 50 points a game. But they've held steady this year, and I think they jump out to an early lead. And I know they got a lot of good cornerbacks over there, but we talked about Akeem Talib possibly might not play again. And even if he does, Drew Brees is gonna throw for a lot of yards in this game, and I would take the Saints laying the 3 points.
Yeah, I could take the Saints as well. And I think that the last game, we got about 30 seconds, Kansas City, Carolina. Yeah, you know, actually, I want to talk about Jacksonville, Houston, because I think this game's got the wrong favorite in it. Jacksonville is a dog at home, and Blake Bortles has been awful, but I think that he's going to step up in this spot. I think that Brock Osweiler is brutal. What do you think?
I think Brock Osweiler is going to have a good game, and I think the Texans are going to stomp on the Jags.
All right, well, then we'll call that one a draw. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every weekend, as well as the Bubba Show during the week. We'll see you right back here after the break. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're coming right back. Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, Alabama, LSU last week, quite the game, but it just goes to show you can have a great defense, but you better be able to put a field goal on the board.
Yeah, I mean that was a prototypical Alabama LSU game, and it was extremely fun to watch. I mean 0-0, you might think isn't fun, but I love it. I mean Alabama, those are two of the best defenses, and I mean Alabama is the best defense in college football. LSU is definitely up there. I mean 3 quarters, I'm just sitting there. I had a feeling Alabama was going to put something together eventually, but I mean, LSU was just, it was typical. They had great defense. They can't score a single point. And I mean, the spread in that game, 7 points, I mean, that came down to the wire. I mean, we had the touchdown from Jalen Hurts and the field goal at the very end to cover for Alabama, but that was a spectacular game. I said before the week started, I thought LSU was going to give them a game. I think they did give them a pretty good game. They just couldn't put together anything on offense, but I mean that's nothing new. They can't really score points on anybody, let alone Alabama. So you know, entertaining game. Alabama is still the number one team, but I finally got my wish. Justice was served. Texas A&M loses to Mississippi State, and now Washington moves into the top four. You know, a week after I was crying that Washington wasn't in, even though they were undefeated, and you know the very next week Texas A&M. Got the 4 spot, and now they are 7-2, down to number 8. So a little poetic justice there. And Northwestern couldn't really do it to Wisconsin. Did you see that game at all, Bob?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, but it was they just really couldn't move the ball on them. I mean, that was, you know, the major problem. And, of course, those big old horses from Wisconsin just kind of ran them over.
Right. I mean, Wisconsin, you know, they've got a great defense. They've been playing great all year. I mean, the Michigan game, the Ohio State game, I know they didn't win, but, I mean, they were in those games. They're very close. Held Northwestern to 7 points. At Northwestern's been on a pretty good roll as of late. Another big game, big upset, Arkansas dismantles Florida. I mean, that was no upset.
That was predicted right here on the Sporting Edge.
Still, a great prediction. Florida just got dismantled. I mean, this was an ugly game. Seems like Florida the past few years, they always have this kind of game where they just fall apart, and you know they just can't quite put together a whole season together. I mean, ever since Tim Tebow left, I mean they've kind of been near the top, but they can't put it together. And this was a perfect example. I mean, they just got rolled by Arkansas. I mean, this game was not close from the first snap.
Was it Tim Tebow or Urban Meyer?
I don't know. That's tough. I mean, maybe a little bit of both, but I mean, yeah, Urban Meyer. How about Ohio State? I mean, they come in and just absolutely annihilate Nebraska. I mean, this game, I know they won by 60 points. I don't think they're 60 points better, but I mean, they ran away with this game and played some great football.
They played great, but there is one. I mean, listen, I don't make excuses for anybody, but there was a key play in the game as far as the points spread was concerned. And that when Tommy Frazier got hurt, they were driving.
Tommy Armstrong? Yeah.
Yeah. No, his name is Tommy. Is it Armstrong or Frazier?
It's Tommy Armstrong.
Okay. I thought it was Frazier. How do you like that? I thought when he got hurt, okay, they were driving, and they would have put him within 10 or 12, whatever it was, and they brought in the guy who's been the backup for 5 years, and he couldn't move the ball, and of course, the route was on. I mean, Ohio State, we agreed, was a better team. I just thought Nebraska was in a spot that they might have been able to play better, but that was one of our dogs, one of our losers, but hey, you know, they just got wiped up, and of course, you can't make excuses and blame, and that's really what happens, and hey, you know, we'll move forward. Mississippi got a bad break. Quarterback injured. It's a worse break for him because he could have turned pro, but he decided to come back. So
right.
That's a bad break. And of course they get a Texas A&M team this week with a new quarterback. So they're bringing back a kid who was redshirted, and he's gonna give up his red shirt. But what are some of the you got any feel for any games this week?
Well, you know, I'm really excited to watch the Michigan game. I know they're playing Iowa, who's, you know, 5-4, very mediocre this year. It's a 21-point spread, but I mean, you know, Michigan hasn't really gone on the road all that much this year, and then the two times they have played Rutgers and Maryland, who are, I think, two just dog teams. So I think Iowa is going to give Michigan a little bit of a game here. I know Michigan's, you know, they're firing on all cylinders right now, playing some great football. Jabril Peppers, you know, has an outside shot to win the Heisman, I think. But I think Iowa is going to give them a little bit of a game here. And my first pick of the week is the Hawkeyes plus 21.5.
Well, we'll have to pass on that because I like the other side if I'm going to play it. So we'll have to leave that one up.
We'll recap next week of the game.
We'll recap the game. We'll see when they lose by 50. Michigan, that team, Jim Harbaugh is not taking a foot off the gas of anybody. He don't care. He's running it up against everybody, and they better play one hell of a defense because they don't have enough offense to stay with this team. So. I like Arkansas coming back against LSU, getting a touchdown at home. I think that they're a solid team. And I mean, you got to assume that LSU has got to be pretty banged up from last week and pretty disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, they gotta be super banged up. I mean, that's a tough game, to play for them, very high on emotion as well. And I think this Arkansas team is kind of on the other side of the spectrum. They just had a huge win. Playing Florida, it really beat the crap out of them. And I think they're going to move the ball. I mean, LSU's defense is great, but, you know, every week, not defenses that are great don't always show up every week. And, you know, I think Arkansas definitely has a shot to win this game. You know, it's hard for me, you know, to take LSU when they just can't score. I mean, unless they're just playing a team that, you know, they're going to run over. But Arkansas is not one of those teams. And I like the pick. I would take Arkansas plus the points.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think they will. And I'll tell you what, my sleeper pick this week, believe it or not, the Fighting Illini over Wisconsin. And I believe that they're a 26-point dog, okay? I think they can win the game straight up. How's that?
I've seen stranger things. Illinois team is pretty underwhelming this year, but, I mean, that was pretty much expected. This is the first year Lovie Smith is taking over. I could see it. I mean, Wisconsin has been playing some terrific football, like basically all year long. And I could definitely see Illinois kind of sneak up on them and, you know, bite them in the ass. I mean, you never know what's going to happen with Wisconsin. Great defense, been playing some good football. But, you know, Illinois, you know, they're one of those teams who maybe once in a blue moon could come out and shock and have a good game.
Yeah, no, I think that Illinois has been playing a little bit better. I think they've done a better job recently, and you know, they're starting to step it up a little bit, and I think that's pretty good for them. And I think they got a good chance to win here. I think that you know, Clemson, Deshaun Watson injured last week. What's your thoughts?
I mean, that's tough. If they're going to win the national championship, he's got to be under center for them. So, I mean, that's tough. They're 21-point favorites this week. They're playing Pittsburgh at home. Shouldn't be a problem, but, I mean, we're getting closer to that point in the season where it's almost playoff time. And if they lose, I mean, I got to think they're out of the top four. I mean, they really have not – they haven't looked spectacular this year. I mean, they've looked pretty good. So we'll see where that goes. My last pick I wanted to go over, I know I've been pumping them up on the show with the Washington Huskies. I actually like the Trojans this week, getting 9 points on the road. I think USC is going to give Washington one hell of a game, and I think Washington is going to win on a last-second field goal. That's my prediction of the week. But I think UFC is going to get up for this game. It's a huge game for them. They're 6-3. They're ranked in the top 20 now. This is a chance for them to get closer to that Pac-12, get to the top of the Pac-12.
Could be. I don't know. I'll go with it. I think one more game, I think, is a big overlay, and I think that's Vanderbilt and Missouri. Missouri is a favorite over Vanderbilt, and I think they have the wrong favorite in the game. Missouri sucks this year, and I think they're bad. You got any thoughts on that game?
Not many. I do like Vanderbilt. I've seen both of them play a little bit, and I think Vanderbilt's the better team.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, so we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can happen. Not a lot of highlight games. I think now it's stay undefeated if you're up in the top. Play good games and don't get injured, because, we're winding down the season here, and we'll see how it comes out. But in the meantime, we're going to try to put together another good week for you. We've been doing pretty well, hitting a pretty good percentage. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. That'll do it for today. Make sure when you miss the show, you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show, as well as The Bubba Show Every Day. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next weekend. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and Xander Horowitz. We'll see you later. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.